let's. Now you threw me off.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
Welcome to Woodside Lane.
I was gonna say it. I'm gonna kill you. Okay, welcome to Woodside Lane. I'm your host Pooja Apana, and today I'm here with my very good friend Joshua Thomas Holtzman. Introduce yourself, Joshua.
I am Joshua Holtzman. I am 3 weeks away from turning 21 years old. I was born in Orange County, California. Hated it. Moved when I was 9 to Richmond, Virginia, or a suburb outside of Richmond, Virginia. Liked it more just because, like, the life and, like, the pace was just slower. But, like, all the people there... or worse.
In case, obviously, people do not know Josh. Josh is someone who identifies as queer. And do you want to talk about that a little bit? Like,
sure, I can start off with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely growing up in a place where being queer was nowhere near the norm or nowhere even near, like, accessible. Like, there were probably a couple out queer people that came out at my middle school. And that's the only place anyone was coming out anytime then. Because, like... the middle school that I was... I went to an IB program in middle school. Actually, I enjoyed the middle school experience for the most part because, like, it was fun and all the people that were cool are, like, a little more diverse
right.
than going to my zone school. But obviously, there was no queer representation. And I just feel like, I go by they-them pronouns. And I just didn't even know that that was, like, an option for me because I felt like the idea of being queer was so outside of myself that, like, I could never, like, identify as it. And people always, like, identified being queer in me because I feel like it's a thing inside of me. And people would identify to me as being, like, I always got bullied for being, like, gay, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. for, like, I don't know. I was just, like, friends with a lot of girls, which is funny why that would be seen as gay. I don't know. I just, like, I always got along with girls more, by the way. My entire life, I would always have at least, like, a solid set of friends that are girls and then a couple guy friends. But now I feel like I have about an equilibrium because...
Yeah. I do think that you definitely have an equilibrium. And, I mean, I guess my question sort of stems to the idea of being queer in the South. Like, was that something you felt comfortable, like, expressing back then?
I didn't even express it at any point in middle school or high school or any time. Just because, like, again, I didn't know, like, I had always described the attractiveness, like, I'd always described men as attractive in one way or another, and I never knew it was just, like, an option for me to also, like, do things with them physically. I'm not, like, I haven't done many things with a guy,
mm-hmm.
but just when I came to NYU, it was just so completely different. And outside of the norm, and I saw everyone expressing themselves in every different way. And it made me realize that, like, oh, that is me. Like, oh, that can be me. And then especially with quarantine and, like, just being alone with my thoughts for a while. And I feel like I talked about this in another small interview I did, but I feel like TikTok and social media really gave me, like, an outlet to, like, explore and understand just as many queer people as I could possible,
oh.
which then gave me the options to be like, oh, I'm this and I'm that for, like, gender and sexuality.
Oh, like, so, like, TikTok kind of explained it a little more, I guess, or exposed
yeah,
it to it?
Yeah, it just made it more accessible. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And just, like, so personable that, like, I don't know. It was just, like, so many people and so many ideas that, like, it just showed that, like, oh, like, a lot more people feel like this. Like, at the beginning of... I feel like when I was, like, in sixth grade, I remember the fact was 1 in 12 people are queer.
Mm-hmm.
But for one, that just, like, isn't true. And I, like, thought about that. And then, like, also I looked it up now. I think it's, like, the stats, like, 1 in 7 or something. Like, it's
yeah.
that sounds a lot more common to me. And I feel like just it was so blocked out in my mind because it was really, like, going to public schools around Richmond, Virginia, I was very gratuitous towards them because they were
right.
really great education centers, but they were – very racist and very oppressing towards, like, anyone that wasn't straight and white.
Fair.
And it was just, like, I feel like just so oppressed and compressed my mind so much that I just, like, couldn't be it until I, like, saw the options.
What, like, in your school kind of made you feel like that? Was it, like, the education, like, what they taught? Or was it just, like,
It was the lack of what they taught.
Interesting. Yeah. So, where did they, like, teach, like, you know, safe sex and things like that?
They taught safe sex. They also, I feel, were, like, slightly educational on, like, how to have straight sex, but they never talked about gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
They never talked about, like, female to female sex. I know for the women also. Mm-hmm. And it was just very taboo. And I know that's, like, for all of America. I never heard anyone getting taught. No,
I don't think that was very much, like, I don't think that was something that was, like, common. Yeah. Like, even when I was a kid, I grew up in New Jersey. Like, it was a pretty, like, very liberal state. But, and, like, straight sex, of course, was explained, but, like, it was never, like, obviously we knew that people, like, you know, like, women liked women and men liked men, but, like, no one really kind of gave, you know, correct sexual education on that, which maybe was also just the time we grew up in, which is weird because we're also just, like, 20 years old. So that's kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But I feel like also in the past, you know, 5 to 10 years, a lot of things have changed. And I think hopefully in the future, a lot of kids will be able to get that education. Yeah.
I agree. One of my close friends from middle school, who now goes to Hofstra, she made a whole, like, queer inclusive sexual ed program and presented it to the school board. It was, like, amazing. She literally made it in 8th grade, and it was, like, so extensive, and they didn't immediately, didn't even hear, like, what she had to say. She will yell at me for bringing this up right now, but I want to know your guys' opinion on this. She messaged me on Tinder first. My Tinder game was, like, not great. Like, it's just, like, whatever. Like, I also didn't think I was genuinely that attractive then also. Like, I did not have, like, the greatest confidence in myself.
I rolled just in case.
I'm being honest. And she messaged me first, and she was, like, the prettiest girl in class from first semester, so I was like, this is as a friend. Because if you message, I don't know, the weird game on Tinder is like, who will message first? Like, you have to wait 48 hours before you guys match and everything, gross. Yada yada yada. I fucking hate Tinder. But she matched and then messaged me right away. I'm like, okay, this is an instant friend zone. Apparently it wasn't.
That's so funny.
Me and Quan became friends with that, actually. I was talking to Quan more through her Tinder than I was talking to her. We hung out a couple times in some really weird circumstances. That's the first time I met Pooja, was through Anto.
Oh my god, this
it
is
was
fun.
The day that she was leaving. We all met up at like 1 a.m. I took a...
This story is actually funny. We had no idea that was the last day before all of us were sent home.
Yeah.
And I also thought that was funny because I'm going to add a little snippet that I told you later on.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Anto and Nyanta, and I was like, oh, like one of those guys were cute. And then Anto was like,
about this.
Yeah, no, this is actually a diss. I told Josh's okay. story as a diss.
Okay,
but, and Anto was like, yeah, Josh, right? Josh is like really cute. And I went, no, the other one. But
exactly.
Like,
because Aiden's cute.
Aiden's attractive.
Exactly.
Yeah. But point is, like, since even back then, like, you know, how many months after did you date her? Like,
six. And I wasn't like, attracted to her at the time because she was talking to someone at that point,
right.
Basically dating someone.
Yeah.
Which is like really weird.
But yeah, like I just thought that was a really funny story.
Yeah. That concludes. I asked her out on a date towards the end of her quarantining at NYU. I fuck up bad. You've heard this before. I was so. Okay, so like, I'm going to wedge a bigger story into this story because it really fits on the timeline of everything. Because
right.
It just sounds like talking about this person before this event that I'm about to talk about just sounds like a different person. Because I literally asked the love of my life, the girl that I can say confident at this point, like we will definitely last a very long time and we will probably get married or have a partnership at some point in my life. I mean, that's what I think.
If you're having a wedding, I'm planning it. Anyway, sorry.
Of course. And I asked her out over Snapchat.
Oh my god, this was the
She said, as a friend date or real date? And I said, I don't care, because when a girl asks if it's a friend date or a real date, I assume that they want friend date.
No.
And then she was like, okay, fuck you, basically. Like, oh, you don't care. And then she said, so friend date. And then I was like, oh, I was sad. And then she was sad. She ended up crying about me that night, apparently, or kind of.
It was, no.
So dumb. It still somehow worked out because I'm the luckiest person in the world.
Aw, it's kind of cute. But no, it was so funny because I remember that story, because at that point, I mean, we definitely were like friends. Like we would hang out all the time. I would see you guys all the time. But I feel like within the last like month and a half or 2 months or something, like you, me and Anto have gotten like so much closer.
Yeah.
And it's, like, funny because thinking about back then, it's, like, crazy. See, those are the same people. Like, you guys were just doing this weird, like, back and forth thing.
It's synchronicity, and it's just the thing is, like, it had... I always tell her also, like, we had to meet at that time, which, but like, when we actually met and then ended up, like, getting closer and, like, and then ending up dating was... I came back, like, late October, early November, after I had gotten, quote-unquote, suspended... glossing over that. And yeah, so it was after I got suspended and I finally came back to New York, and literally that night I got to my place, I didn't even unpack everything, I left my bags there, I got dressed and I left because I had gotten there kind of late and I wanted to like go back to Quan's. And
was that Quan's birthday?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was
that night I gave Anto and Quan 11 tattoos, and your asterisk tattoo on your hand. Yeah, on my
finger. Dude, that
bleep that out if mom ever listens to this.
No, my mom doesn't care about the finger.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, that stuff, that hurt.
That was literally basically your first time meeting me again, and they let me all give them tattoos. At this point, I, like, that's to say the night that I fell in love with her, because we ended up talking for like an hour and a half. She... sadly basically doesn't remember most of it. Oh, which hurts me so bad.
It's so funny. I have a video,
such like a vivid memory in my mind.
I have a video of you and Anto talk. I'm looking at like Quan's foot. That's what the focus of the video was, but in the background it's you two giving each other like googly eyes, and it's like hilarious. I love that video.
Turns out she was just really drunk and it wasn't googly eyes. She said she didn't even like feel anything that night. I was like, shit,
damn it.
Okay, but the thing that made me change, the thing that happened in between those 2 points was a trip that I had with my friends. We all went camping to the middle of nowhere in this place outside of Roanoke, Virginia. It was 13, 12 of my friends camping, and we had all taken a psychedelic before, had taken it multiple times. We were like, we should... make this like a really important going, like really focused on like our intentions and like really care about it and give it our all, and also take like the most or around the most that we'd ever taken. I was really reckless at the time, and I now have come to terms with more of my mortality at this point. Great. But I took 3 tabs and then 4 grams at the same time. And then we went on a run to, like, on the come up, which, like, got my body going too quickly. And literally within, like, 45 minutes, I was, like, very much tripping. Like, all my friends were giggling and shit, but, like, one of my best friends, actually my quote-unquote twin flame, Ethan Billmeyer, we basically have proof that we're twin flames. Besides the fact he was having a very bad time because he took around the same... amount as me. Mm-hmm. And also this trip has deeply traumatized him as much as it has traumatized me. But basically the last thing I remember is looking at the trip timer, because we always have a trip timer going to know how far we are in. I look at it and it says like an hour in, and I'm like, oh my god. I basically like got zapped out of my body and I was having a three-way conversation with myself. It was, I don't know how to describe it. Like, these are things that happened in my mind that cannot be put into words. It just doesn't give it justice, but it felt like myself at the time was talking to my future self, and my future self was talking to my past self.
Interesting.
And then they were also talking to my true self.
Interesting.
But, like, actually, okay, so, like, those three were talking, but my person at the time was looking at them talking.
Oh.
And this was all going on in my mind, and they basically just hashed out everything that had happened in my life up until that point, and then hashed out things that will happen.
Oh.
And I don't really remember the things that will happen. Anything else that I can say about, like, those things that they talked about and how those have connected in my life will just make me sound insane. So I'm going to skip over that. If you want to pry it, I'll answer, but I'll skip over that for now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, also I was naked the entire time. I was ass deep in some rocks and dirt because we were by the lake.
Oh my God.
Because whenever we trip, we all get naked at some point, but I stayed naked. And then I get zapped into my body back at around 4 hours when I'm finally starting to come down. Oh, also I was mute the entire time. Literally the entire time, my friend said that I was just like pointing or just like doing.
not speaking.
And I don't know how to describe doing, but it was just really powerful. Oh, also other things. Okay, so I'll wrap up everything that I saw.
Yeah.
Basically, it felt like I transcended the idea of visuals and I just saw like an energy field and I could see people's energy spike before they would talk. I don't know if that was like my perception, but literally I could see in the peripheral of my vision, I would see like an energy spike of someone and then they would like, I could know what they were about to say and they would say it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously just absolutely just
crazy
out of my mind.
Man. Yeah, crazy like, mayhem.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did that connect with your relationship with Anto?
Oh, so just after everything that we had rehashed out, and okay, also the last line I'll say about the trip. I came back at hour 4. The first words I said were, I am Josh. And then I proceeded to have probably the most 3 depressed months of my entire life besides that abusive relationship that I had. Because yeah. It was just like so much for my brain to handle. And my brain like took like a full like fart on itself.
Yeah, fair enough.
But during that time, I had realized that like, I felt like before that I had not been like my truest version of myself. And I had like been coping with a lot of things that I didn't even know I had to cope with in like very unhealthy ways. And that's what happened when we were hashing everything out inside of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like at like literally I remember talking to one of my friends that night, and for the first time ever I was like, I don't know why, but like I want to feel loved right now. Like I want to be in a relationship. And I did it for the first time ever, and I'm like, I'm going to manifest like my girlfriend. And then we had a really long talk about like how also I didn't think that there was a girl for me that would like genuinely satisfy everything that I want in someone as a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about it, and then Seth was like, there is that person else out there for you.
Interesting. And then Anto.
Yeah. Then she just fell in my lap.
Wow. Interesting.
That was a very long story. I'm so sorry.
No, it was interesting though, because also it wasn't just about her, right? It was also about yourself and discovering what you wanted. And I feel like the problem with relationships nowadays is that people think that person's going to come and, like, fix you. But you have to kind of fix yourself in order to have a healthy...
definitely have to.
Yeah, in order to have that sort of healthy relationship. Like, which is why, I guess for me, for a while, I did not feel complete. And that's when people are like, oh my God, like, I need to find someone. Like, one of my very good friends was in, like, a really long relationship. Freshman year, and it was great, and I think, you know, he was really happy in that relationship, but I think sometimes you use that relationship to like fill that hole that mm-hmm. he needed to fill himself. And I feel like when I saw that relationship, because I was very much in it, like I very much like they were my best friends, it was a whole thing, right? And I realized that I'm not gonna let that be me.
As RuPaul would say, if you can't love yourself, how is someone else going to love you?
No, but actually that's true.
It's so true.
Like, if especially like in relationships, like I'm not saying you can't get in a relationship. And I'm not saying they're not going to love you. I just think to have healthy love, number one, healthy love is not always happy. Like, it's not always going to be la, 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 like, cuddles, kisses. Like, it's so fun. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
But healthy love is that you fight well. That you are able to talk through your problems. Because guess what? There's still another human being.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I think I also had this habit when I was, like, definitely last year of, like, being in relationships with my friends. Like, emotional relationships. Which taught me that I am not ready to have a full relationship because I, especially at that point, I needed to kind of develop into the person I am today.
How big is your house, Pooja, so I can, like, get a vibe?
It's not that big. It's not that big. It's just, like,
it's a normal house. It's I've normal. Been to it. It's big.
Wyatt, shut up.
3 floors?
I mean, just basement and then 2 floors. I mean, it's not crazy.
Okay.
And there's a long driveway, though.
So. Long driveway. I'm guessing, like, a terrace in the back, patio.
Yes. And then a massive yard with my mom's garden. She loves flowers, all that type of stuff. Okay. So I planned this whole thing. Like, I rented tables and chairs and talked to catering companies and discussed menus. And honestly, it was my favorite thing. Like, and had, oh, I had cool drinks. My brother was the bartender.
How old was your brother at the time? He had waves from the couch.
Very young. And I was going to pay him, but then he was absolutely useless, so that I did not pay him. And I was like, this is...
Pooja with your business.
Yeah, absolutely not. And then, but it was really fun. Like, we spent the whole night dancing and the fire show, and it was, and I had to sleep over with my best friends after. Definitely wasn't the craziest thing I've ever thrown, but it definitely was my favorite.
Okay, so are we saying favorite party, or, like, is, like, a utilitarian answer here? Like, the most people had the most fun, and you also had fun?
Oh, I mean, whatever you want. I chose the one with the most sentiment. That was, like, my first big, big party I threw, though. Which I just liked the best, honestly, in my opinion. I thought the people also the most fun because of the fire show. And, like, people, like, also that day, like, it was a surprise. I didn't even know this was a thing, but my friends had bought out, like, a Snapchat filter for me.
And, like, okay. Oh,
that's so cute.
Yeah. No, it was, like, there was a Snapchat filter. I know. And there was a Snapchat filter that said Pooja's, like, birthday thing. It was really cute. Honestly, that was definitely my favorite party. Just because there's so many, like, cool little things. And, like, it was also on the night of Garba. And, like, a lot of my friends showed up to mine instead of Garba, which is, like, a massive thing.
Yeah.
But that was definitely one of my favorites.
All right. So I've probably done, like, 6 parties in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And probably definitely my favorite one was also my first big one. It was after senior year. Fucking, I, at this time, didn't keep a list of people, because I didn't, like, there was a lot of people that were saying, like, no, or, like, maybe, and, okay, so, also, the theme was, I'm actually so sad I'm blanking on it right now, because it was, like, a meme that was connected to it, and I can't believe I'm not remembering that, but it was something really ambiguous, and I was just, like, and then if anyone asked what that even means, I sent a picture of my friend holding a machete, with some really weird graphic shirt on it.
This is so interesting. What is
all this? All of my party's themes were very abstract, and it ended up just bringing, like,
that's
the most
so
funny.
You, though.
Because all my friends are super creative. Like, the costumes, they were absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't even dress, but, like, literally for the most part, I'd say maybe, like, 150, 175 people ended up showing up. Like, most people were dressed in, like, some just really weird, off-kilter way, and I loved it. It was, like, my favorite part of the party. But this plan, I planned this party because I wanted one of my friend's friends group to meet my main friend group.
Right.
And they lived really far away, so, like, them making the trek was, like, a 35-minute drive. In Virginia, that's really far, so it was, like, this was, like, a big, like, them all meeting. So I gave out a bunch of free substances. Not any bad, so I just said substances because I don't want to say that I gave it out.
Yeah, of course.
And my friends were there, like, we were chilling. There was, like, 20, 25 people there. And, like, it was calm. Also, my parents were home. so I like couldn't be loud. And then I leave to go play beer pong, and I was honestly kind of scared. It was like this. It was like the feeling of like this party's gonna suck. Like this party cannot suck. I come back out. There's like, it's like shoulder to shoulder in my kitchen and shoulder to shoulder in my living room. And then my friends show up. Oh. And also, okay, preface, like me and my group are like, ah, we're crazy. These people are legitimately insane. Like driving in any of these six people's car, like I feel scared for my life. I love you, Shiji. I love you, Max. I love you, Matthew, Terry. They're all dope, but like they all are scary and like just go hard.
Right.
So they really brought up the energy, and it went from 0 to 100 so quickly. There was like people basically like flooding up because I couldn't let anyone upstairs, but they were like basically flooding up onto my stairs. And my fucking mom and dad came down, and they were like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Right.
And they were like, I ended up talking to them, and they're like, "You have to ask people to leave." And I did the, if you don't know my name, leave.
Oh my God, I love that.
And basically no one left because everyone there I knew. Because I was telling my mom, I was like, Mom, I swear it wasn't going to be this many people. Like, I didn't invite that many people. Like, someone showed up that I didn't know. I think I knew every single person there. And they just, like, dispersed and, like, quieted down a bit. But, like, it was just rowdy and weird the entire time. And it was amazing. We stayed up till, like, there's this beautiful picture of, like, all the guys. Also, because whenever I have one over, like, obviously everyone sleeps over. No one's driving.
Right.
My parents are very safe about, like, they do not allow us to drink, basically. But, like, they will take the keys anyways because they know people probably will show up fucked up. So, like, I made sure everyone got a ride home. And then there would be, like, 25 guys basically sleeping on my living room floor. And then I'll be, like, sardine together.
No, like literally, I've been a party planner since I was a kid. I told you I planned my wedding when I was like 10, 11 years old.
You didn't tell me, Ellen. I thought you were insane when you said
that. Yeah, like multiple folders. I have like an entire packet that I'm ready to print out and give to my bridesmaid.
You're literally a Friends character. Like, that sounds like something Ross would do.
I swear to God. But also, the thing is, it's crazy because I feel like not like in a derogatory way or anything, but I'm not that type of girl that like wished, I don't know. I'm not like that type of girl who's like obsessed with love. You know what I mean?
Maybe it wasn't the romantic, it was just the planning that you loved.
Oh, I just love to my friends. I think I just the fact that like that's like the one day I just get to celebrate my life with my friends and my family was the one thing I liked.
Why don't you just plan like a big birthday party or
something? I know, but no.
But it's weddings bigger.
It's weddings like, are
everyone,
bigger.
And everyone, the coolest thing about a wedding is everyone has to show up to a wedding.
Like, everyone
no
pulls
can say
up.
I have a thing.
No.
Two whole families combining.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? There's two families, and like, it's like someone I want to spend the rest of my life with, and I think that's just so special for everyone to show up. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna cry. That's like a thing.
I'm gonna cry.
You're gonna cry?
At your wedding.
At my wedding? What?
I'm gonna cry at Pooch's wedding.
Stop! If you guys cry, then I'm gonna cry. I don't want to cry.
I'm gonna cry at your wedding. I'm probably not gonna cry at mine.
What?
I'll cry.
I'm just gonna be happy. I don't happy cry that much.
Oh, I have a cry. When something's so overwhelming, the way
I don't think I've ever actually happy cried. I don't think I have.
I think when something's so overwhelming to me, like, so when someone says something so nice to me, like for example, like when Wyatt agreed to be like a official part of my podcast, I think that night I went home and like cried out of happiness, like long and hard for like 30 minutes.
That's so cute, Pooja.
When my friends do stuff that really overwhelm me, like really put their faith and their creativity and stuff like that into me. I can't stop. Like, even when I talk about it sometimes, so I was talking about it with my friend from home and how, like, really I'm thankful for everyone who sits here and who, like, believes in what I'm doing and who sees I'm running these three things, but they have total faith. I'm not going to, like, not have time.
I want you to know I have boosted you to all my friends. When I went back last time, I was like, Pooja's insane and you have to meet her.
That's the way I describe it.
Exactly. I've called her a girl boss to every single one of my friends at home. They don't know what you look like. They don't even know who you are, but they know you're a girl boss.
They know your name, though.
That's so sweet. And that's the thing. Like shit like that. Like, you know, more than anyone buying me a gift, like, that's the stuff that makes me tear up.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a funny story. No, it was. Because, like, I was very overwhelmed this one night. And, like, I was dropping stuff. I think I was looking for Tej. And I went to...
Oh, God. Tej wasn't in. I was roommates with Tej.
Yeah.
And then, Tej was sleeping upstairs.
Yeah, and I just sat there for a second because I was just getting overwhelmed, right?
Yeah, she was, like, saying that she was going to drop something off. And I was like, she clearly is, like, there's nothing in her hands, baby. Like, she's clearly here for another reason. I was like, Pooja, what's going on?
And then I said, no, I said it was fine, right? And then... And then he was like, he did the hug motion. That's it. Cried for like 4 hours, like yeah. Just sobbing. His entire shirt was wet. Like, yeah. Dude, like it was like, holy shit. Like that was probably the worst I've ever cried.
Okay.
No, I mean, it was good, honestly.
Thank God you were there, Wyatt.
Yeah,
of course.
Dion was just there with his girlfriend Emily, and they just like stood up and they're just looking at us. And I have Pooja, I'm like, just go back.
That's like, so funny.
It was hilarious. It was really sweet of them. But like, yeah.
Yeah, they were concerned as well.
Yeah, I'm a massive like, but that's the thing. I cry in the sweet moments. I also was crying over the fact that Wyatt was letting me cry on him. So I was crying even harder. I was crying harder because of that.
That makes sense why his shirt was all soaked.
Yeah. But...
You were crying under your third eye too?
Everything. No, honestly, I let so much shit go that night. But yeah.
Dope. We haven't even talked about spiritual stuff.
I know.
How long have we been talking?
Join me next week for part 2 of Josh's episode.